Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The corruption case against former House Speaker Sal DeMasi and two co-defendants goes to the federal court jury in Boston today. After 5 weeks of hearing arguments, evidence, and testimony, jurors will start off today hearing instructions from federal judge Mark Wolf. They're expected to begin deliberating sometime later this morning. WBUR's David Boeri has been covering the trial and joins us this morning here in the studio before going over to federal court to explain the weight of responsibility that now rests on the jury. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob. So
attorneys for both sides have argued over the judge's instructions, how jurors should interpret this case. What's crucial here today?
Very crucial is the standard they need to meet to convict the defendants. Now, at the heart of this case is the government's allegation that DeMasi was behind the payments from the Cognos salesman, Joe Lally, to the three defendants. If you recall, Joe Lally, the government has shown, has paid $65,000 to DeMasi, $300,000 to Richard McDonough, and $600,000 to Dick Vitale. Now, what the government's theory has been is that DeMasi directed those payments be made in return for him steering the contracts to Cognos. That was the government's theory, and the defense has defended against it, saying there is no evidence that that took place. What if, for instance, Lally made those payments just to curry favor? So the defense says that the government needs to prove that it was DeMasi who directed those payments. Last week, suddenly, the prosecutor said, no, we changed our theory. In order to convict them, the jurors only need prove that DeMasi knew about those payments being made and went along with them. That's a lower standard of proof. The judge will decide today, or has decided already, and he'll tell the jurors what standard they need to meet to convict the defendants. And that is crucial to their fate.
All right, you sat through closing arguments last week along with the jury. What do you think is going to resonate for the jurors?
Well, they were theatric, comedic, dramatic, sometimes dull. The defense is at a disadvantage in that it had put so few witnesses on the stand. It doesn't have a narrative. What they talked about was the fact that the prosecution failed to prove their case. And then they went to the government star witness, Joe Lally, and they had a piñata party, and Joe Lally was the piñata. Bum, liar, schemer, cheat, liar. And of course, his fate, it rests on whether he provides substantial assistance for the government. He got a better deal from the government. He got the best deal since the Louisiana Purchase. That's my line, not the defense line, but it works because he is going to get a sentence of no more than 2 to 3 years or recommendation if he performs up to what the government wants. So they beat him, beat him, beat him. And yet it was the no personality prosecution that has the long reach of this phenomenal body of circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence, they have established their idea of motive, which was DeMasi was broke with a $50,000 monthly credit card bill, desperate for money. They put that together with a long reach of this law called the Honest Services Theft or Fraud Statute. And so they go back to say, we got it. Use your common sense. You can see what's going on here.
All right. All of this, of course, takes place in front of this very political backdrop. How does that add to the jury's task?
Well, if the jurors are like the general public, they have a very dim view of Beacon Hill. And, you know, that you wonder how much of that adds in. They're not supposed to take that into consideration. But I think that what has been demonstrated by the government is that the behavior here by DeMasi and the others, unbecoming, perhaps scandalous, suspect, suspicious, in short, bad behavior. Now, under this law, you can, and the problem with the law, said the defense attorneys, it's easier to convict because jurors can look at this bad behavior and say, it's bad. But bad behavior, yes, does it meet the standard of being a crime?
All right, let's talk about the jury for just a moment here to close. You've been watching the jury for weeks now. What do you think we know about them?
They have been paying attention. It's always, on the other, it's always kind of surprising. And as a reporter, it's always disappointing to realize that people being selected to a jury know nothing about the case. And these jurors knew practically nothing about Sal DeMasi or that case ahead of time. It is a huge task for them to sort through these questions and this law. Again, the prosecutors say, look, just look at the circumstantial evidence. If you're doing a jigsaw puzzle and it looks like the Statue of Liberty, but you don't have the last piece, you know what it is. Go with that. The defense saying, look at what we have here. It's a test a liar, somebody who's being paid essentially by the government, benefited for this. It doesn't reach that standard. That's their choice, and I would predict that they're going to be out for several days.
All right. So you think a verdict possibly then before the end of this week?
I would think so.
WBUR's David Boeri, who's been covering the trial and will keep us up to speed on the developments ahead as the jury begins to weigh a verdict in the DeMacy corruption trial today. David, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.